Welcome to the Sage Parnassus Podcast, peaceful guidance for your Charlotte Mason homeschool and life, with me, Nancy Kelly. With this podcast, I'm going to share a series on Parents Are Peacemakers. There will be a total of 6 episodes in this series. You can access the transcript of this booklet on my blog under Parents Are Peacemakers, or you can purchase the booklet through Riverbend Press. Thank you to the Charlotte Mason Poetry Transcription Team in helping me with the transcription. This episode will be my introduction, Essex Chumley's introduction, and Lesson 1, Making Peace at Home. If you are a parent, I'm going to venture 2 things about you. I'm guessing you have boundless love for your children. I'm guessing you would like to raise them well. Your intentions are good. Day to day, however, you may wonder how you're doing, what exactly you're doing, and perhaps even why. Could there be any foundational ideas to help you navigate the ups and downs of bringing up a family? It's my belief that if you are even asking this question, you're already on a fruitful path. I also believe the foundational ideas exist, and they are printed here in this wise and delightful booklet. Parents Are Peacemakers was written in 1944 by Essex Chumley. The title alone holds a core of the book's wisdom, that peace at home is a creative act, something that is actively made, not something happened upon by luck or accident. As the biographer of Charlotte Mason, Chumley's writing echoes the observant thinking of Mason. For example, these lectures suggest that the entire endeavor of bringing up children hinges on being attuned to them, of being aware of their needs. Consequently, Mason's words from Parents and Children serve as a fitting introduction. Quote, "Sympathy is an eye to discern, a lever to raise, an arm to sustain." Woven throughout these talks is Chumley's unique and remarkably humane voice. "Remember what it was like to be all in a muddle," she tells us as we try to pay attention to our young ones and their struggles. Her powers of empathy are matched by her powers of discernment. She insightfully organizes the lectures under the guiding principle that there are 4 core needs parents strive to meet: the need for leadership, for healing, for feeding, and for teaching. To open this booklet is to find, bravely named and described, the essentials for creating a solid foundation in the complicated, oft-times overwhelming work of parenting. There are additional gems throughout. What does it mean to be well brought up versus simply growing up? What does it mean for your family to decide what really matters and live in such a way that reflects that? How do we discern the difference between our children's needs and their wants? While a few anachronisms may jump from the page, the talks run deep and hold a wealth of encouraging ideas and probing questions useful today. To be a parent is creative work. While it may be easy to see that healthy relationships with our children are the foundation for their growth, that being a parent requires effort, time, and attunement, it is not easy, not always, to live the day-to-day. These lectures are here to prompt us to open up our days to conversation and learning, to walk with others on this journey. As Mason writes, there are appointed ways, not always the old paths, but new ones, opened up step by step as we go. These lectures provide a solid framework for groups of open and willing minds to bring themselves up toward wisdom. What an exciting and noble goal. And so, along with Chumley, I send you off with my greatest wishes for truth and beauty. Teaching from Peace, Nancy Kelly. Notes for those who conduct the talks. The attitude of all present, including those who conduct the meetings, should be one of finding out together what is best for children. The leader must have faith that the most ordinary father or mother has much to contribute. Be in the chair rather than in the pulpit. Determine that each talk shall give real opportunity for meeting mind to mind, experience shared. A sense of hostesship and hospitality is needed, giving a welcome, making everyone at ease, introducing them to ideas and thoughts courteously, keeping a happy orderliness in proceedings. A kindly sincerity encourages discussion and kindles initiative in individual listeners. Talk for about 5 to 7 minutes, then get the parents to talk. Ask for examples and experiences from real life and use these when you continue. Keep the thread, but let it be an elastic one, building up upon what the meeting gives you. In Talk 6, discussion would best be left until the end. Illustrations from real life are most important. If those given in the talks do not suit a particular audience, others should be chosen from personal experience of real children and real families. Every leader must know her audience and give instances which will be normal and acceptable to them. Give the talks as a series. They lose their force if used separately. Together, they form a unity. Apart, they present little fragments of the whole aspect of education, which bringing up implies. Those who find these talks helpful should read the books of Charlotte Mason. In them, they will discover a constant source of wise counsel and inspiration concerning the whole life of a growing up person. An Essay Towards a Philosophy of Education and all the volumes of the Home Education series can be obtained from the Parents National Education Union, 171 Victoria Street, London. I owe a debt of gratitude to Lady Reed for her encouraging cooperation and most kind advice while the talks were being written. Essex Chumley, Wadden House, Bruton, Somerset, 1944. 1. Making Peace at Home. We often hear it said that, after we have won the war, we must win the peace. Already people are planning ahead, planning for education, for employment, for insurance, for feeding hungry Europe, for building up the cities. We leave these things to the leaders of the nations. All we can do is to read and listen and think, say a word here and there to approve or criticize. Yet we must win the peace. I must. You must. Not just Mr. So-and-so, minister for such-and-such, but you and I. If we want to make a dress or to make a cake, we find a pattern or a recipe. Where shall we find a recipe to follow if we wish to make peace? It is hard to find. A good recipe tells us what to use, how to use it. Take such and such. mix, bake in an oven for so many minutes or hours. If some good angel gave a recipe for peace, he would say, take an ordinary family, mix it with love and understanding, and bake it in your homes for every day of every year. We talk about housewives. It takes house husbands and housewives to make peace at home. Parents are the peacemakers of the world, and if they fail, then war must come, whoever our rulers may be. Let us think about homes and houses. Let us each think of a house, one we know well, where we like to go, because it is happy and friendly, and the young people and older ones get on well together. Discussion. Description of actual homes provided by the meeting. Use them when going on with the talk. Has anyone a home in their thoughts where things go wrong? Quarrels, nagging, sulks, temper, discomfort? A broken home? One that is beginning to crack? That family of which you told us, the children were noisy all about the place, but they could be quiet when told. Mrs. X gave a good tea. Not just, now, Mary, run round for the fish and chips at any moment of the evening. Mr. X was a bit tired after his work, but he had his tea and his pipe, and he and Tom mended the cycle together. They all seemed to be getting what they needed. Mr. X needed rest. His wife needed that chat with you. The children needed play and activity after school. Tom needed help. They all needed their tea and companionship. That other quarrelsome family, everyone wanted to have his own way and meant to get it too, no matter what the needs of others might be. Then again, that empty home to which Nancy returned after school was over, let herself in, gave herself tea, amused herself alone, and put herself to bed. Father and mother were both out at a cinema. 2 or 3 evenings a week, was it? Nancy was quite used to it. What a lonely place. Loneliness does not make peace. It makes a hungry heart, and fear is round the corner. The peaceful home was the one where each member of the family was getting what he needed. What do people need? Let us think of that. There is a difference between what people want, what they would really like, and what they really need. Certain things we all need, grown-ups, children, everyone. Discussion. Group the suggestions into needs of body, needs of mind, as in food, warmth, healing, love, justice, hope, companionship, security, etc. A long list. Do you notice that in a really happy home, they all get attention? Not all at once, all the time. But each need gets answered, sometime, in some way. We are in need, and we feel a desire. We want something deeply, passionately. Affection, notice, a friend, quiet, whatever it may be. Our needs are the ground of our human nature, from which our thoughts, hopes, fears, and joys grow up. Children are especially needy people. That is why fathers and mothers must be peacemakers, must give loving thought and care in order that the children may have their 4 great needs supplied: leadership, healing, feeding, and teaching. Thank you for listening today. I hope you find this series helpful, and I'm excited to deliver it in audio format. As always, please let me know what you think, and if you have any questions. A simple rating or review wherever you retrieve your podcast would be much appreciated. I will close each of these episodes with a favorite peace prayer. This one is from The Cloud of Witness, page 389, under the theme, Rest in Weariness, a Prayer for the Week. Grant to me, above all things that can be desired, to rest in Thee, and in Thee to have my heart at peace. Thou art the true peace of the heart, Thou its only rest. Out of Thee all things are hard and restless. In this very peace, that is, in Thee, the one chiefest eternal good, I will sleep and rest. Amen.